Podcast People's Podcast. Hello and welcome to another breaking news edition of What Most People Think. So I keep these up my sleeve for when there's something big that's happened the day before, and we had the budget yesterday and I was excited about it, man. Very excited. As somebody that consumes politics as somewhere between entertainment and sport, I was in fact tweeting about the fact that I was preparing for it like a cup final day, you know, got the lads coming round, a few tins in, maybe order pizza for 11:30, so we're focused for the big event. And it was funny, I did the tweet and then there was a really brilliant succession of comments afterwards. Somebody said that he's going to be watching the budget in one of the designated fan zones. And then another bloke said that he's waiting for the budget limbs when they announced that fuel duty is frozen again. If you don't know what limbs is, you know in football when you see like an away end or a football ground just go completely mad and you just see arms in the air and quite often legs, because there's often drunk fat blokes just falling falling downstairs. It's called limbs. So the idea that there'd be budget limbs, it just tickled me. I mean, look, people slag off social media. I've got some funny followers, man, and I've got brilliant patrons. New patrons, I should mention that there were a few recently. Oh, by the way, do check, because obviously we had the first of the month, so do check if you're enjoying getting the content early, ad-free, and with bonus content, do check that your account is still active if you've changed bank cards or stuff like that, as they seem to do so often now. About every 3 months, they go, we've replaced your bank. Why? I wasn't defrauded. Do you know how much fucking extra work you've caused me now? I think I'd rather be frauded to the tune of about 250 quid a year than have to go and put in all the numbers, the day. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard, the modern world. Very, very hard. But there are new patrons. I will mention you in the main show next week. If this is the first time you're listening, this is What Most People Think. So this is a topical comedy show. Yes, I'm a comedian that will dare to say if I think that there was actually something decent in the Tory budget. I'll say it. I don't give a fuck, man. I'm an edgelord. So even though it's a breaking news show, of course we're going to do a thank you and a fuck you. I'm going to say thank you to the film Dune 2. I saw it at the cinema on Tuesday. I've just been feeling a bit run down, a bit ill, a bit low. Just wanted, busy, got stuff coming up. Obviously, the documentary's coming out Monday, the 11th, 9 p.m, BBC Two. Honestly, it just comes naturally now to me, just plugging stuff. I didn't even plan to do that, but in it went. That's what she said. So I went and watched this film, and it was brilliant. It's such a brilliant film. I enjoyed the first Dune. And Dune 2, just, you know, like CGI, like this is beyond CGI. I stopped thinking of it as special effects. I don't know how the fuck they did it. It just looked real. It was a great storyline. It was actually quite funny in some respects, because one of the points of the story is whether or not this lad at the centre of it, Paul, which is a really low-level name, is the Messiah. Paul the Messiah. Sounds like a fucking comedy with Simon Pegg. But there's a really funny moment in it where he denies to them, like it's sort of like a bit like Life of Brian, where he just says, look, I'm not the Musa El Gaib, which is the name for the Messiah. And then once he's gone away, they all talk in hushed tones and say, only the Musa El Gaib would be humble enough to deny being the Musa El Gaib. There's just some brilliant ideas in it. You know, like you got the fighty stuff, you got the swords, you got the sci-fi stuff. But there's also like his mother in it, Lady Jessica. She's part of this intergalactic thing called the Bene Gesserit, which is a sort of a matriarchy level above the emperors that are basically running the show. And I thought, yes, this is how I see women. I think women have always had power. They're just exercising it in soft, clandestine ways. This is probably very sexist, I don't know. And then so Paul, or the Musa El Gaib, depending on your beliefs, he gets in this relationship with, I don't know her character name, but Zendaya, the actress. And then Zendaya has to deal with his mother, Lady Jessica. Now, ladies out there, I don't know if you've ever had a complicated relationship with a mother-in-law. I beg you to watch this film and just be grateful that that your mother-in-law isn't Lady Jessica. I mean, this woman, fuck me, is she pulling the strings? Dear, oh dear. The fuck you is to labyrinthitis. So one of the things I've been, a consequence of being run down, I got labyrinthitis, this inner ear thing. And I have had, over the last 10 or 15 years, most of the main illnesses I've had are not taken seriously. Labyrinthitis just sounds fucking ridiculous, doesn't it? I've also had carpal tunnel and a thing with my feet called Morton's neuroma. And it just all sounds a bit Latin, doesn't it? You know, labyrinthitis, carpal neuroma. The illnesses I've had sound like the kind of thing that would go on a family crest. Like it means something like fortitude. No, it just means like middle-aged guy creaking at the seams. All right, let's get on to talking about yesterday's budget. So the budget begins, right? The fans are in the stadium, the whistle blows, and straight away, the Labour benches, they'd obviously been briefed to put him off or to sound angry. There'd obviously been something that had gone around on a WhatsApp group, which was just shout a lot, which is fine. You know, it happens with all government groups. I think, right, put him off his stride. They just went so early that it sounded fucking ridiculous. It sounded like they'd come into the chamber like a little bit drunk, a little bit wasted. So the deputy speaker had to sort of say, look, we haven't even started yet, lads. Fucking chill your beans. You're trying to do budget limbs before we've even got going. And what Hunt tried to do at the beginning is sort of tell the story again of you know, like the origin story of Spider-Man or Batman. It's always, so he got bit by a spider, or his parents got fucking killed in an alleyway. And the Tories are like, we came to power in 2010. Now, it is relevant, I think. You know, they came to power. There was no money. The global credit crunch wasn't caused by Labour, but Labour had been spending high going into it. So the Tories got spending under control through austerity. Some people think that was a choice. But then if you look at what happened to other countries that didn't do that, Portugal, Spain, Ireland to an extent at the time, you know, like, and especially what happened with the mini budget recently, there's a point to be made that if you're not managing your finances, your borrowing costs go up, blah, 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 blah. Right. So their argument was that when we went, you know, they got government spending under control, if not total debt, by the time the COVID pandemic hit. So they were in a position to dish out money. And this is what I think is kind of interesting for the Tories, is that their inability to make play out of things that might otherwise be seen as strengths is quite striking. So they spent shitloads of money. You know, the country was screaming out, just money, just give us money. More than 100% of our wages, even though we're not paying travel anymore or lunch at work. All right, here's 100% of your wages. Or prop up this sector. All right, we're giving a billion and a bit to creative, like live arts or whatever. Oh, they need some money as well. Lock down the schools, lock down everything, lock it down again. That's what the public wanted, right? And that's what they did. And then subsequent to that, obviously, there was the invasion of Ukraine. There was huge runaway inflation. And then they were like, give us money for our heating bills. And they're like, all right, it's a few quid. Do you want some more? The pensioners? Yeah, we'll just give, yeah, fuck it, all pensioners, even if they're stinking rich. We'll give it to pensions. People go, we need another payment. And they did it, right? But I don't know what it is in the Tory psyche. Maybe they're subconsciously slightly embarrassed about this fact, but they don't seem to be able to make political capital out of it. And I suppose it's because if the Tory, I mean, I've mentioned this before, but if the Tories were to say, we paid your wages, it just sounds a little bit evil, doesn't it? We paid your wages. What? So you control me now? That's what the public would say. Whereas if Labour said, we paid your wages, people go, thank you, Labour. You do things for nice reasons. So they tried to tell the story. And I think it'll be important at the election. I don't think they've got any chance of being the biggest party, but to sort of reduce their losses, whether or not they're able to tell that story. So Jeremy Hunt sets out. And can we just say as well, Jeremy Hunt spoke for over an hour. It is quite incredible when you've got such limited raconteurial skills to think, yeah, if you got it, flaunt it. The people want more of this. Fucking, if I was Jeremy Hunt, I'm doing that in 25 minutes flat. It was a long one. The other thing that, you know, that people sort of overlook is the employment rate, right? We have been through a lot of stuff and we've the unemployment rate has been like still near or at record lows. Now, there's a lot of stuff like with inflation coming down. People say, well, it's nothing to do with the government. Obviously, it was when it went up, but now it's nothing to do with the government. But you have to say, if you created an economic situation where we've maintained pretty close to full employment for people who want to work, that maybe some credit is due. So they're trying to stress the positives. And I should say here, if it sounds like I'm being overly sympathetic to the Tories, when Labour were in power, I've got this thing with budgets where I want to hear the good news. You know, I'm very suggestible. So when they stand up and go, this is great. Look, the economy's growing here. We've got the biggest tech sector here. We've got loads of fucking unicorns. The OBR have upgraded the forecast. We've turned a corner. I'm like, good, yes. I've got my popcorn out, drinking a can of Stella, going, fucking brilliant. It's one of the reasons that I think sometimes that I voted Leave, because the two narratives, one were the Leave narrative was Britain will be fine. And the Remain narrative was everything's going to go to shit. And I was like, oh, I tend towards the optimism. That would really have annoyed some Remainers. Is that really, Jeff? Is that all it was? Well, it wasn't all it was. But I'm just being honest about the way my mind works, right? So obviously some of these things got unpicked, as they do with budgets, right? That's what happens. From my whole life, the budget happens. And I think, well, this all sounds positive, right, guys? A cut in national insurance, another one, that's good. I must say, I am in favour that they're starting to float this idea of getting rid of it completely. It's so opaque, isn't it? Just have one income tax rate, right? And then governments will be more accountable for what level it's at. National insurance has always been a bit of a sort of backdoor route to raising taxes. But yeah, the headline figures are 2p cut in national insurance rate, the threshold at which you can still get child support goes from 50 to 60 grand, VAT threshold finally goes up again. I mean, in one way, they put it up and they go, look at us, we put it up, but it's been frozen for 7 years. Oh, who froze it for 7 years? I'm just looking around. Oh, it was fucking you.
What most people think.
One thing that was sort of cheeky is that there's going to be no spending review before the election. That sounds like we might be setting Labour up for a hospital pass here. Yeah, we just, we're a bit snowed under, and we really want to do a spending review. Yeah, where you have to admit that you're going to have to cut stuff. Look, for now, we just want to do the fun stuff. Look, it's our last year in office. It's been really tiring. We had Brexit. We had the pandemic, Ukraine. We've earned this. So there's no spending review. There was a boost for the creative industries, right? Which I thought was interesting. That must be an emotionally difficult thing for the arts, right? They've literally, I mean, what the Tories have done in terms of the tax breaks for film is sort of like they're trying to reignite the indie film industry, which I'll tell you something. If you'd have asked anyone, what are you expecting out of this budget from the Tories? Well, I think that they're going to fire the starting block on an indie film revival. I don't think anyone had that. What else are they going to do? Yeah, they're going to open up loads of vinyl record shops all around the country. And they're going to extend licensing and open up 7 new super nightclubs in city centres. So one thing that they did do, they nicked Labour's policy, right? Which was for the non-doms. And I don't know if they've deployed it exactly the same, but maybe in fairness to Labour, this gives slight sort of backup to why Labour is saying that they're not announcing stuff, because it would have been, I don't know how many of the public actually fully knew about Labour's plan, but obviously in focus groups it tests very well, because the principle of it is going to appeal to a lot of people, right? Even if it doesn't work economically, the idea that there are people who are living here that aren't paying tax on all of their earnings, right? It just a simple principle will appeal to people. And all of a sudden, right, the Tories who were against it because they said, well, it will only raise in the hundreds of millions, they're suddenly like, oh, 2.7 billion quid. I mean, it was fucking shameless, let's be honest. I mean, like, the Tories were even laughing on the front bench at just how fucking brazen it was. They're like, they should have actually leaned over and made pickpocketing gestures going, I'll have some of that. Oh, I think that's mine. Literally nicked Labour's lunch money. But, you know, that would be difficult because for Labour now, because they've junked their 28 billion green pledge, which I was sort of in favour for. I thought, all right, if Labour got to find some way of growing the economy, remember that Labour have pledged to be the fastest growth, sustained growth in the G7. They've got to have some way of doing it. Well, they've got rid of one of the main ways that they might do it. And the non-dom thing was one of their big marquee policies. So it's going to be interesting as to what their retail offering, right? You know, that offer that they'll give on the doorstep, where they go, well, people, what are Labour going to do? And obviously, it's got to be a Northerner. Has to be a Northerner. They go, well, you know, there's a big part of we won't be them, and I think that will appeal to a lot of people. But the closer it gets to the election, people are going to want to hear stuff. And those are two big marquee things that have gone now. I reckon that they're going to regret the 28 billion green pledge. So that went to the Tories. There's, of course, fuel duty. Now, fuel duty is sort of like the DFS sale of British politics, isn't it? It's always going on. Fuel duty's going up. No, it's not. We cut it. I think it's 14 years now. Could we just get rid of it? But they won't, will they? Labour won't either, because it's a simple win, isn't it? It's a simple win in the Sun newspaper to say, joy for motorists. It's the same as full alcohol duty, isn't it? They always make that kind of like knowing joke. The member for West Hampstead, who has certainly been a proud supporter of the whiskey industry. Sorry, you say he's an alcoholic. Is that the joke? So they always cut that, and that's one for the tabloids, isn't it? So they can show two glasses clinking. But yeah, that sort of stuff. I think people have just come to expect that. We've got a levy on vaping, which I think was kind of, I know that, you know, there's a lot of libertarians that don't like this, but it's kind of inevitable, isn't it? That if there's something that people enjoy doing for long enough, the governments will eventually go, right, we'll have some of that. We'll have some of that. So what it turns out that the net effect of for this for middle earners is that they're going to be they're going to be a bit better off, mid-learners. I guess part of that is because of the child benefit thing and the national insurance thing. There were, you know, they were doing these focus groups afterwards with kind of people who said they'd voted Tory at the last election, and quite a few of them were retirees, and they're going, well, there's nothing in it for us. There's nothing in it for us. You go, come on, man. Like, you've done all right with the old triple lock. You know, when everyone else's income was going down, yours was like fucking maintaining. And with, you know, interest rates and savings, I understand that not all pensioners will have savings, but, you know, as a generation, they are some of the best off. It's just like, could there just be one budget where people in work did better out of the last fucking 10? Is that okay? No. I can hear you. I'll tell you something. I admire the boomers. They're like, no, we have the money. We're going to keep the money and we want more money because they're that generation. They're like, because something is going to go wrong. Something's going to go wrong. We still need more money. You notice that with your older relatives, like they're still saving, even though they're fucking 90. You go, what? Just spend it. What are you saving for? I mean, obviously there comes a point, you know, with certain people with inheritances due where they start going, all right, what are you spending that on? Okay, do you really need a coffee that's that expensive, Grandad? Now, one thing that the budget used to be known for was bants, right? Jeremy Hunt is not your guy for that. The joke that he did do, which kind of got some attention, was essentially a fat joke. People saying that he fat-shamed Keir Starmer. Now, those of you that pay attention to such things will notice that the Keir Starmer that became leader in 2020 was a bit more live than the Keir Starmer we face today. I mean, well, that's one thing I would say would be a concern, is like the degree to which being opposition leader has aged him. We all know Blair aged because obviously he made a pact with the devil, but it seems to have happened to Starmer in opposition. So Peter Mandelson, who I think is kind of like still pulling some strings with Labour, he always will be, I think, till his dying day. I think Peter Mandelson will be on his deathbed and he'll just say, bring me my phone. And he'll just say, and he'll just croak out some bit of epic shithousery to put in the press. He said that Starmer could do with shedding a few pounds. So Hunt and his team have gone, well, we can't let that go. So they do this gag about Labour will help people shed more than a few pounds or something like that. Now, should the Chancellor of the Exchequer effectively be doing a fat joke? I don't know, but I would imagine, because the thing is, are the public going to love this? Probably not. They must know that. I think what happened was the moment they thought of that phrase, they were like a kid in a candy store. They're like, oh my God, Jezza, you got to do this together. Jezza, come on, mate, you have to do it, mate. It's so funny. He did the joke. It's got to be said that Labour benches were sort of laughing along, but there have been one or two more moralistic people that have just, is this really what we want our Chancellor? Well, you know, Mandelson made the joke and Hunt was sort of echoing it. You know, not that fully, but then also loads of them have made little jibes at Rishi's height. So you would say on balance, Rishi can't do anything about his height. Keir Starmer can do something about his weight. So height jokes are worse than weight jokes. We move on. There was another thing that Hunt was doing as well, and it got picked up on online, was the amount of shout-outs he was giving, right? Because, you know, obviously Tories have got loads of marginal constituencies where their MPs are facing defeat. And so every once in a while he'd go, you know, my friend from Melksham and Wytown over there, and the Right Honourable Member for Plathingbourne, and it was almost become to the point like he was a garage MC. You know, Garage MC's always doing shout-outs. Yes, yes, just throwing out a shout-out for a big shout coming out for my man for the West Right Slip Massive. Been holding firm for his crew. Yes, yes. Nothing but love. Nothing but love for the Right Honourable Member for Bassingbourne. So overall, it went on far too fucking long. But I think, given in the circumstances, I mean, I would favour a national insurance cut because it promotes employment. It helps people in work. You know, I think that the VAT thing moving better late than never, you know, the child support thing. Yeah, like obviously all the tax thresholds have moved. So there were some small things there that were helpful. And, you know, there was good news about the OBR prospect. I don't know. I just want to feel positive. Does anyone else feel like that? Maybe it wasn't a great budget, right? Maybe everything is still fucked, but I just want to feel positive. So then we'll now move on to Keir Starmer's response. Before Starmer could respond, there was an epic bit of shithousery from the SNP, which was hilarious, because normally they don't vote on the measure, and then immediately the leader of the opposition can get up and crack back at him. But Stephen Flynn called for a vote, which separated them for a while, and there was a little break. And I think that was maybe Stephen Flynn going, yeah, remember how you fucked us the other week? Well, we can fuck you. But the truth was, actually, I don't think it did fuck Stein. I think it seemed to annoy him because he'd come out, he seemed to have had his Weetabix. I mean, obviously, only two, if Peter Mandelson had his say. Sorry. It had to be done. And, you know, he would have said things, Starmer, that would have struck a chord with quite a lot of people. He said that Hunt and Sunak sitting there acting like everything's fine just feels delusional. It just feels delusional. But the way he said delusional was good. And in fact, the overall tone of Starmer's response was him at his best, really, because he's very good what he's telling people off, isn't he? It's a completely different thing when he's trying to actually, you know, put forward an idea. But look, I'm not, he's absolutely ruined. So he was in his safe space, right? Remember that from Partygate. That was the best it ever got for him. There were some funny jokes in there. He did fumble the Rishi recession line. I mean, a big part of Labour's response is to just say the word Tory or Rishi before negative things, isn't it? It's a Tory mortgage premium. It's the Rishi recession. But he didn't actually say, he so wanted to nail it. And I understand this because sometimes when you're doing stand-up, if you know one of your favourite jokes is coming up. So he went, Rishi, oh. But he got back on it. And there were good jokes in there. He said that he thought the government had been taking lessons on marketing from the people who put together the Willy Wonka experience, which was a good gag, I think. He also missed a joke, I thought, when he said that the government are trying to imply that we've turned a corner. And I thought it was such an easy gag that he should have said, yes, we have turned the corner, straight into a cul-de-sac, right? That line works because we're in recession now. It was the one time that he can do it, because the truth is, a lot of people seem to think that we'll be out of recession in a couple of, you know, in a few months. But it was a decent response. It was just underlining what I think Labour's response is going to be. It's just quite simply, do you feel richer than you did when the Tories came to power? That might be persuasive to some people. But I suppose the only sort of chink of light for the Conservative Party is that, you know, growth has been upgraded. What if there's decent growth in the first? I can't see any of it. Like you can see with the focus groups and the polling that the government are at a point now where almost whatever they do, the reaction's going to be, well, it didn't do enough. Does nothing for me. It's I'm still like as though one budget could just kind of make everyone richer at a stroke, right? And that's what happens when you've been in power 14 years and a lot of water has passed under the bridge. So I suppose it kind of comes back to what I think most people think is with the Conservatives, whether you support them or oppose to them, is to just do the right thing for the time being. And I think that some of the things that they did in terms of promoting growth and tax cuts were good, but then there's other things in terms of, you know, not having a spending review, which might feel like trying to set up a hospital pass for Labour. And it would be incredibly poetic, wouldn't it, if Labour come to power and there's no money and they spend the first 5 years saying we're going to have to cut stuff because we came to power with no money. Maybe that would just be the pattern of British politics forever. Okay, that is it for this breaking news, but I think we've had a couple of new reviews on the iTunes. Just remember, I've just seen England lost another wicket at the cricket. Fucking hell, what has happened to us out there, eh? If you give a five-star review, I'm going to read it out. This is from Paul. We're going to do Paul's voice like this. The podcast is brilliant and hilarious take on hot topics, along with focus areas. Some great special guests. Jeff is incredibly funny and helps to cut through topics which are often undercovered. I met him after a show last year and he was a bloody nice bloke. Well, fucking hell, I haven't seen. Yeah, please tell Twitter that, all right? And we've got another one here. This says, the scissoring comment, I don't know what this relates to, really gives a mental image of how the show works and entertains. More cricket-themed shows would be good, as I understand them. I work in a mixed office. Politically, it can be hell sometimes. So thank goodness for AirPods, not sponsored. So I can listen without judgment. I mean, that is the great thing. And I'm speaking directly to you now. If you work in an excessively progressive, or dare I say, woke industry, then just enjoy, just look around, just judge them with your eyes while you listen to this podcast, or this incredibly edgy podcast of a bloke that is willing to admit that not everything in the Tory budget was absolute shit. I'll see you next week.